Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This season of Boners of the Heart is brought to you by Go Native, the New Zealand beauty company that isn't evil. They globally and ethically source the best essential oils, butters, and skincare essentials and sell them to you at wholesale prices. They also have a website full of recipes if you want to get into creating your own deodorants, exfoliants, hair care stuff, and much more. They'll save you money and having to deal with big, evil, exploitative cosmetic companies. Yay! Check them out on Instagram or at gonative.co.nz.
Hello and welcome along to this episode of Boners in the Heart, starring Edinburgh award-winning comedian Rose Matafeo and New Zealand television
star of stage and screen and online. Don't forget online.
Star of internet. Only available in New Zealand.
The most democratic platform of all time.
Alice Smith.
Star of the internet, where literally anyone can be a star of the internet.
And a warm welcome to us both.
Warm welcome, so funny.
Hubby B, let's do a quick 2-minute catch up.
Oh, I've been fine, but the winter is setting in here in England and I want to die.
Yeah, you're depressed. You got that sad lamp on, girl?
It's called depression, mate. get used to it. Well, I'll turn the sad lamp on, shall I?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's bright. It's
Can
bright
I just
today.
Say, judging by your tone, absolutely keep that thing on 24/7.
Oh, my God. No, it's well, I've got to put it closer to my face. It's setting in. The darkness is setting in, and I know I'm coming home for about 2 weeks.
I know,
and so
I'm looking forward to that.
Dealing, me too. I'm really looking forward to it, but I'm putting off dealing with the repercussions of the horrible winter.
Yeah,
by going, well, I'm going to be home soon, but it doesn't make these I've just been sleeping for like. I just love sleeping, and it's a constant struggle between trying to feel productive and wanting to have 10 hours sleep.
Fuck, you know what I mean? I cannot remember the last time I had 10 hours sleep. I'm a 6-hour
gal.
Yeah,
it's so weird.
I'm a 6-hour.
6 hours.
Yeah, but I'm tired
Alice,
all
you
the time.
Need 8 hours.
I know, I'm always tired. I'm never not tired. But
how can you not sleep that long?
Because I find it hard to sleep, Rose. You know, I find it hard. And the rain sounds, they help. They help a lot. But I think I just my mind wakes me up, you know, it's overactive, et cetera, et cetera.
Too big. It's spilling. I've got an overactive mind as well, but
yeah, it's not the same though, is it? Clearly. Your mind is clearly happy taking a 10-hour break. Whereas mine on the go.
No, mine's not. No, I wake up all the time through those 10 hours. And also like I'm doing a lot of work like in my dreams and stuff. Because I'm actually more of like an artistic person.
I'm not an artistic person at all. It is.
Do you reckon?
No. Like right before.
I think that's the main difference between us, actually.
Yeah.
We always think we're very similar, but I think.
I have hand-eye coordination and you crochet.
I do have hand-eye coordination sometimes.
I don't
know. But I put it down to the 10-hour sleep. I think those 4 extra hours edged me over.
Before I became a comedian, when I was at sweet old little law school and I was finishing, I had a crisis where my big crisis was about the fact that I had zero creativity. That was my crisis.
Yeah.
And now look at me. I'm in a creative industry. So I guess what I'm saying is never limit yourself, reach for the stars.
Yeah, you're like one of those trouts, you know, swimming upstream. You know, like, you know, you're making it happen.
I'm against all odds.
How are you? How are you?
You know, emotionally turbulent, but otherwise fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in turmoil. I've been up and down. Yeah. Tonight I had a low and then a high. At my low, I went to the supermarket. I bought a 12-pack of beer and a packet of cigarettes. And then I'm not a smoker. I'm not a smoker. There's my
shame. You said it.
As my official designation is not a smoker. But I went to the supermarket alone at about 8:30 at night, bought a 12-pack of beer, checked them out, had to get the person to come over to check that I was 25. And they didn't ask for ID.
Oh, amazing. Is this still part of the low?
Yeah.
Is this low?
And then I had to ask that person for a pack of cigarettes, but there was only one attendant on the self-checkout things. And they were like, yep, sure, no problem. And then they had to leave to go and get cigarettes, which I didn't realize. And they were gone for about 3 to 5 minutes. And during that period of time, of course, many of the other people at the self-checkouts had, you know, their various issues that needed being addressed. And they were all standing looking at me, knowing that the reason that they were waiting around is because some fucking piece of shit had to get a nicotine fix.
Yeah, I think it's really selfish of you to have gone through self-checkout to do that. That's what I'm going to say.
Can I say this? I asked an attendant at the supermarket, how do I get cigarettes? Mm-hmm. And they pointed me toward the self-checkout. So,
no way.
Yeah, they absolutely
did. You just got to hit up those dairies, man.
I also had a Lola. I'm house-sitting a house in the other night. I fucking left my keys in an Uber. And then I freaked out trying to get my keys back from the Uber driver. And then one of my friends had a spare key to the house, and then he let me in. And then both of his keys were sitting on the dash. And then I walked out of the house today with neither of the keys. And then I had to call a locksmith to come and let me into the house. And then just as the locksmith was on their way, I was like, I'll just check if there's not a window open. And then there was a window that I hadn't fully locked that I snuck in through. And then I set off the alarm and...
Boy, this is... Like, I cannot, and I know whose house you're house sitting. I cannot believe they have let you house your house, their house. I am shocked. And I'm like,
she's my almost friend.
Almost want to contact them. I want to contact her.
No, she's my friend. She trusts me. And
I don't,
every obstacle I have
nice
come.
For your, it's too nice for you.
Yeah, true. But every obstacle, I know. That. Fuck, I'm reckless. But every obstacle I've come up against, I have handled it with grace and aplomb. So.
I really hate your confidence. I hate your confidence. I hate your confidence in everything. I'm jealous of it. You know what I mean?
Why like, is I'd that probably confidence?
Like. They'd come back from that house. They'd come back to that house sitting job with. Someone's taken their lives. I break a mug. Dead.
You would break a mug, absolutely.
I would break a mug and I would lose my mind. My goddamn mind. It would be on my mind for the whole day. I would message them being like, I am so sorry. But
I always think how would I react in this situation, you know? And I think I'd react pretty chill. So then I'd chill.
Yeah,
I wasn't chill about losing the keys in the Uber. That really fucked with me. But then I got them back the next morning, and it was all fine.
That's so stressful.
That was fucking stressful. Anyway,
what is the most stressful like moment of your life?
The most stressful moment of my life.
A moment of immediate stress.
Really good question. Most stressful moment of my life. I don't know if it was stress, but like most like adrenaline out of nowhere. Like when there was that massive car crash outside my house and I was running to the middle of the road and I thought I was going to find a dead body. That was probably my highest stress moment, I would say. But then there wasn't a dead body. So.
My dad's nearly drowned before, and it still isn't as much adrenaline as when I accidentally emailed someone about sleeping with someone and the person I slept with read the email.
Oh my god, I remember that.
That was crazy.
That was, I mean, never seen you in
don't, let's not go into the details.
Okay. Can I please just go into a little detail?
No, we're like, okay, fine. Okay. But
just the small details. I want to share, and Tim will cut this out if it's too intimate, but the detail I want to share is that it happened, and you were upstairs, I believe, in your room. And before you, and I was downstairs in the living room, and before you entered the living room, this is what I heard. No, 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 no. And then I heard you down the stairs. You came into the living room. You threw yourself on the floor of the living room and just went silent. And I was like shaking you. I was like, Rose, what is wrong? It was such a glorious fucking moment. Holy shit.
It was so full on. It was the most like it's one of those moments we like when I, you know, eventually act and win an Oscar. It's one of those moments I'm going to tap back into for overwhelming grief and adrenaline and almost excitement at how disastrous what has happened has happened.
I guess I can say
that it was that I left my phone somewhere. I thought I lost it and I hadn't, and I emailed someone about
he was out of
where
line,
I think I'd lost it. I'd emailed someone about how I'd lost it, and then I didn't realize that it was still at their place, and my phone previewed emails and the replies to those emails, obviously. So yeah, it was the worst moment.
Oh god, I'd say okay. Here we go. I've got two other most stressful moments. One was when my mum had the heart attack, and I ran into the hospital waiting room saying like help, help. But that was also kind of cool. And then I've already spoken about that. And then the second one was recently when.
Oh my god!
I think you know what I'm going to say. Recently, two people who I both be
you can't. Okay. I'm gonna warn you. Okay. More people listen to this podcast than you think.
Okay, bitch. Fair enough. I'll stop.
No, because you know what happened. I called my mum last night, and she was like, "Just want to ring you up and say I love you." And you know, I was listening to your podcast with Alice the other day, and I was like, "Weep, weep, weep," like Kill Bill, because I was like. Oh my god, you're talking about the fucking podcast where I talk about fucking and looking in a mirror. And I was like, Mum,
that's cool, Rose.
Don't listen to that podcast. And she was like, and you know, she had that voice like where it was like she knew what I was referencing, but she was trying. She's like, no, it's not. It's so nice to hear your voice when I live on the other side of the world. And I was like, what? Hear bloody smart coming out of your daughter's. Goddamn voice, but you know, it's embarrassing. So
no,
Mom,
you're right.
Stop.
I take the warning on board, and I proceed with caution, so I won't finish that anecdote.
Oh, I can't wait! I can't wait to hear about it though.
You've already heard about it offline.
Hey, if you guys want to hear about it, sign up to our Patreon, where Alice will be divulging.
Here's what I learned about myself in this particular situation is that
you can say it. Why don't you say it? Just do it.
The situation was that I was at one place and somebody who I had been seeing texted me that they were coming, and I was like, great. And then another person I had been seeing also texted me that they were coming, and then
Oh my god, Alice, this is crazy. What a life.
No, very uncool.
Okay,
And what the situation taught me was that I am not a cool, calm, and collected person.
You freaked out.
I am a hide and don't address the situation type of person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I do. You know what? I have instant regret for saying that. Let's delete that from the podcast. I don't want to go any further.
I told you. Let me just do a little disclaimer. Okay, so Alice didn't heed my warning and just spilled her guts on the podcast. So if you do want to hear spilling those guts, we are releasing that clip on our Patreon.
And can I just say, this story is not based on real people, and any resemblance to real people is completely...
And neither is mine.
Is completely coincidental.
I remember when I had mine with my email gate, I put my head under a chair and I felt so safe. I felt like I couldn't... I felt like my body was going to explode. Like, I have problems with embarrassment and shame.
Yes.
Well, I used to. We talked about this before. But I've never felt like my body was going to go into flames. Like...
I've never so quickly had a flight instinct. Never. It was wild.
I can imagine you. I can totally imagine you a person who disappears and we don't see them for like 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's basically how I've left every party I've ever been to.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Anyway.
Oh, I'm a good person. Time to... I feel like that paints me in a bad light, but whatever. Fuck it. R.I.P.
Sometimes we've got to get painted in bad lights. Come on, you can't be an angel all the time.
Ugh, I am an angel. I'm a sweet, sweet angel.
Ugh, no, you're not.
I just want to say the situation brought me no joy. Just pure, just nightmarishness.
I know it didn't bring you any joy.
Yeah.
Because you're a fucking nerd. Only legends derive joy from incredibly hectic and unhealthy situations. Like me.
Yes, me.
Like me. Actually, speaking of, that's a really good segue, I think, into... I'm just going to jump into a theme that we very, very vaguely talked about. So, I didn't talk about this on the podcast the other week when I had freshly seen it, but I watched... Phantom Thread for the first time.
Amazing.
Phantom Thread. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen Phantom Thread. I think I'm kind of afraid of it. Is it a scary one?
No.
It's got kind of a thrillery vibe.
I loved it. No. Oh my God. So I loved it so much.
This is your like simple favour.
Yeah.
I can feel it.
Well, I cried.
Already.
I like wept. Well, no, I wept. I wept because, okay, so it's Daniel Day-Lewis, and he plays the most fucked up dude. But I find, as we all know, Daniel Day-Lewis incredibly attractive, like, just so fucking hot. Like, I can't, like, he's unbelievably hot to me.
Yeah.
Because he's a bit older, he's got a little grey hair, wears two earrings sometimes. But in the film, it's the most, like, you just got to watch it, but it's the most, like, toxic relationship. Of all time. Like, it's like he is demanding and controlling and difficult, and she's this woman that he finds he kind of discovers, he's a dress designer, and he meets her in like the small like English town or whatever, working at like a cafe or whatever, and then they fall in love, and it's just like a horrible controlling power dynamic kind of thing. It's crazy. And I watched that film and I was like, this is the greatest love story I've ever seen. And then I texted. I was like, this is incredible. I was crying. I was like, this is beautiful. They want to be together against all odds, even though they were so bad for each other. And then I texted, an ex-boyfriend about it. And he was like, you're crazy. That was...
Oh my gosh.
That whole
you
film
did
was
not
a
tell
metaphor
me you did
for a toxic
that.
Relationship. I did. And then...
You did not then, tell and then, me that you texted an ex-boyfriend about that. I cannot wait to hear who it was.
Well, you can hear that on the Patreon. And then I went, I get it. And now I'm thinking, I have bad taste.
Yeah.
In people, because I find that, like that hectic kind of, like, horrible power dynamic thing just so intoxicating. and Daniel Day-Lewis, oh my God, he's stunning at it. He is so hot in that film. Fucking hell. Angry older men.
Yeah, you do. I don't think you have bad taste in people. I think you are attracted to potentially bad relationships.
Oh, so like I'm attracted to like fine people, but the relationships are bad.
Yeah.
Well, how does that work?
I don't know, but I've never like hated any of your ex-boyfriends, you know?
Wow. I'm offended by that.
I
do.
I hate the ones I hate on your behalf a little bit, you know, or like I get like
you do. I think you do.
I do. I get protective, and then I get self righteous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely.
You need that.
Yeah,
and then I in turn defend them. Yeah, and then you bring me round.
Yeah,
and then if you say anything positive about them, I feel betrayed. That's how it works,
and that is how the cycle continues.
It is.
True. It's vicious, but I think it's supportive and ultimately loving.
Totally. Are you attracted to grumpy older men?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, okay, so the reason why you're talking about Daniel Day-Lewis, and I feel a little bit annoyed, actually, that you didn't introduce it according to the theme of this.
Yeah, I know. I don't give a shit, man. I just wanted to talk about Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, but just fucking chill. So the reason why you're talking about Daniel Day-Lewis is because of this. Today I saw on the Daily Mail, which is where I get all my news.
Jesus, you need to stop.
No, I recognize it as trash, but it's like a vice, you know? If I'm trying to give up smoking, I can't also give up the Daily Mail. Oh,
sure.
God, I feel so trashy right now. I'm in shorts. I just finished a beer. I'm talking about how I smoke and I read the Daily Mail. I'm the worst version of myself right now. Fuck, that just hit me.
Is that the theme?
That just hit me. No, that's not the theme. Yeah.
Wild, wild emotional spiraling. She's spiraling. You're not trashy. You're just having a trashy moment.
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's fine to be trashy. I hate that word. I think it's classist. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I never use that word. But
no, I don't know why I used it, because I'm in a fucking bad space. But
oh, my God.
No, I'm fine. I'm actually fine. Anyway, the theme of this week's podcast is men who sit on benches, park benches alone. Okay, and that's because I saw a picture of Daniel Day-Lewis sitting on a park bench alone in Central Park, looking fine as fuck. And he's the kind of guy who wears like Dickies as like a fashion now, you know, like as like cool.
I'm googling it.
Yeah, I can hear you typing.
Ooh.
It in, you horny motherfucker.
Ooh.
He's 63 and he looks like that. It's actually wild. It's actually fucking wild.
Oh my God.
I know. Oh, I just got goosebumps.
Oh my God, look what he's wearing.
Yeah, he's so fucking hot, eh?
Oh my God, what's amazing is that he's like a hipster because he's got like a flip phone.
Yeah.
But he's like, he's allowed to do that, you know, because he's 63.
Yeah.
But he's actually allowed.
Yeah, exactly. That's just the level he operates on. He's a Luddite, but in like a cool way, you know?
Oh my God, his dickies fucking rot. Oh my God. Oh my God, he's just eating a... Oh, that's so good.
Isn't it amazing?
I love these photos. I'm going to print them out. I love them.
Just like you're going to print them out?
Yeah. Print them out.
Yeah, we'll put them on the Patreon.
His outfit is stunning.
Isn't it great? It's so good. It's like very like workman chic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. He looks incredible. He's retired from acting now as well. And I really feel like you can see the weight's been lifted off his shoulders. Anywho, men who sit alone on park benches. There's another famous incident where this happens a lot. And the person who does that is none other than Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves.
Who's my crush. Man.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, Keanu is a shocking actor.
Keanu. I love how you're doing like the Tereo, like reading it. Keanu. It's Keanu.
No, even it's not. In Tereo, it's Keanu.
It's no.
Keanu.
It's Keanu.
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 Keanu. Keanu.
Yeah, Keanu.
Keanu.
Keanu. Keanu.
Shut up, fucking dick. No, fuck you, eh?
Sorry, I can't save this photo, so I'm just doing a screenshot.
Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves. Anyway, now Keanu's he's a very bad actor. He's wooden. He's famously wooden. He cannot emote on screen. You've never seen him do an emotion other than, I'm a person in the world. That's his emotion.
And I disagree. In John Wick, he gets upset about his dog and his wife.
I haven't seen John Wick, but I would love to see that kind of range from him. But there's something about him that is enigmatic. And I think it's that him so frequently being caught alone, eating, or just being in public alone, shows a sense of inner confidence and power that is undeniable. See, because a lot of people look at pictures of people alone and go, that's sad, that's lonely. I look at pictures of people alone and I go, you've got mana.
Yeah, you do. No, but it's true. I mean, I do have this joke about how it's different with men and women, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, do your bit.
That you see. No.
No, you clearly want to do your bit.
No, I don't want to do my bit. But, and you know what? Weirdly, I think the bit is a weak bit. It's never found its spot. I've tried to improve it, though. But I do believe that. Like, okay, so if you saw... Like, if someone saw, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis sitting there eating alone, if you saw, Uma Thurman sitting on a park bench eating alone, I mean, I think both of us, open-minded girls who love eating alone on park benches, we'd be like, that's awesome. But I think Daily Mail especially, they'd be like, poor Uma Thurman eating alone. And, you know, like,
it's totally
unattended by her babies or husband.
I do wonder what people thought of me tonight buying my box of beers and my cigarettes alone.
Well, I have talked about this on the podcast, I think, but I don't, you know, living alone.
Yeah.
Not living alone. But living a lonely, solitary life in London.
Breakdown. I want to feel you break down.
No, I mean, I don't think there's anything to like glamorize about being with friends or being without friends. I think everyone in this world is alone.
Yeah, you would say we all that die alone. You're alone, though.
No, but I mean, then I feel like you know what I'm talking about when I talk about how I think people shouldn't be like, get a medal for like fucking going to the shops alone, you know, I don't know.
No, I agree.
Or traveling alone.
I like spending time alone. I like going to the movies alone. I like,
me too. Yeah.
I like going on a drive alone. I like,
and to be fair, I'd say I'm a hypocrite in that sense of being like getting a medal for being alone, because I think it's a tightrope of going, of being like overly proud of being alone, but also trying to normalize it, especially for women, I think, in terms of doing shit alone. But
at the moment, as I house sit this house and I am alone, I have to say I find it to be glorious. I fucking love it.
Would you rather live alone?
Maybe. I had this conversation with my sister this week where we were talking about, I can't remember what we were talking about, but she was referencing about, I was saying, I was saying, I love living alone. And she was like, yeah, of course. And I was like, what do you mean, of course? And she was like, you're an introvert. And I was like, get the fuck.
No, you're not.
Fuck.
No, you're not.
No, hear me out. And not really me, hear her out. I love, there's nothing I love more than hosting. Mi casa es su casa. You know, come make yourself at home, do whatever you like, be free, be casual. But I need time alone.
Go on.
Where?
I know.
Like, there are.
I know that.
But you know, if you know me, if we're at a party, sometimes I will just retreat to a room and just sit in it alone. Because I just like the other day I was at the markets in Matakana and I was there with a friend and we were hanging out and then just, I didn't even say anything. I just kind of split away and went and sat alone under a tree. I didn't even think about it. I was just like,
I think,
of course this is what I would do. I'm an introvert.
This is the same territory as someone being like, I love, oh my God, I love to like match my socks. I am OCD.
It's
the funny thing is that like I'm an introvert because like sometimes I get tired and I sleep for 6 hours.
No,
and I just need a break. I need a break from
Rose, like, that's unfair. That's so unfair. You know, you know me. You know I need downtime.
But I, okay, so this is, you know, I love your downtime. I know, no, you retreat. You're an interesting mix because. You're an interesting mix because I get what you mean about the introverted thing of like when you gain, do you gain energy or feel your energy sapped from the presence of people. But I do think that you do require other people around. I think if you truly lived alone, you would go crazy.
But this week.
Faster than. No. Let me finish.
I can't imagine you have anything left to say, but carry on.
And I refuse to. Okay, so, I mean, I witnessed from afar the Snort Christmas party through many mediums of Instagram, you know, video, story, message. And I refuse to believe that the girl screaming at the other members of Snort to shut up or to stop. Or woo, or singing on top of a damn table. I refuse to believe that girl is an introvert.
Question. And he's like, did you also see the story of me where everyone else was partying and I was reading a book?
Yes. But I think you were doing that for show and I don't know. I think you were pretending. I think that was your big plan. I think that was your big plan. To be fair, Alice, I did see you are on the middle white picture pages
because
of Michelle
I got
Obama's.
The book and what is?
You're on the photo pages, all right?
No, stop it. Hear me out.
I don't think you can read.
Hear me out. Oh my God, that was actually a rumor that somebody gaslit me in high school convincing me I couldn't read. Yeah. But okay.
That's horrific.
Okay, but listen, the reason I was on the white pages is because what do you do when you get a book that's a biography? You immediately go, well, let's check out the pictures in the middle.
Of course.
And then I was taking the time to read every caption. I was engrossed. It was not for show. It was not, I resent, I'm so fucking pissed off at you for saying that. Oof. Oof.
Wow, you've been triggered.
I'm angry now.
I love it. Wow, channel your anger into something productive, hopefully. God.
Anyway, Keanu Reeves. I want to go through a couple of the highlights of his career, if you don't mind.
Fine.
Speed. Really good chemistry with Sandra Bullock, who's one of my favorites. So it gets a plus there. Never seen The Matrix. Don't care to.
We've never seen The Matrix. That's crazy.
Nah. Sweet November, starring Charlize Theron.
You've seen Sweet November, but you've never seen fucking The Matrix. That's insane.
Listen, I am who I am, and I'm done apologizing for it.
I don't think you ever have apologized for it, actually.
I'm an introvert.
You can't be done doing something you had never done.
I'm an introvert who loves Sweet November.
No, I'm the introvert. We can only have one introvert in this podcast.
You are not a fucking introvert.
Oh my God.
Just because
oh
you crochet God. Does
no,
not make
no.
you a fucking
Fuck
introvert.
You.
You
Fuck
love being
you.
In a crowd of people. You,
I don't.
Rose,
no,
Rose
you are
Mutterfield.
Wrong. You are so wrong. You are so wrong. I'm so angry right now. I'm angry. I'm furious.
Bring, bring.
I'm. No, no.
Bring, bring.
I don't want. No.
Bring,
I don't want
bring.
This bullshit. I literally...
Bring, bring.
I'm not answering it.
Bring, bring.
I hate this feature of the podcast.
You have to yes and.
I hate this feature of the podcast. No.
Bring, bring.
I'm going to unplug the phone. I'm pulling the phone. I'm pulling the phone out of the... You answer it.
They're calling on your cell phone.
Wow, weird ringtone that's never existed. Hello. Hi.
Well, good
Hello,
evening.
Hello. Why?
Well, good
How
evening.
How did you get this number?
It's me, Daniel.
Yeah.
It's.
Mm-hmm. See, when you say I have to yes and, I see it as enabling behavior that's inappropriate and unacceptable. In terms of improv, I think you love
well,
improv and you're doing it a disservice. You're doing it a disservice.
It's me, Daniel Dale.
Oh my God. Any room on that Lowe's list? Is that it? I fucking hate you. In a way, you've ruined Daniel Day-Lewis for me a bit.
I'm literally crying with laughter.
Bring, bring.
Oh, fuck
bring,
me.
Bring.
I don't know if I've got a call in me, but I'm going to
spring, bring.
Oh, okay. I'm bring, picking bring. This one up. Hello, and welcome to Bonus of the Heart. You're on with bring, us live.
Ah. Hello. This is Arthur. Is this Alice?
Yes,
Alice Sneddon.
Alice Sneddon.
Oh, it's This is Arthur from the personality clinic. we just wanted to ring you up and say that unfortunately we got your test results back and we made a bit of a whoopsie. Turns out that after you filled out our personality test, from what we told you that you were a introvert was grossly incorrect. And,
no, that can't be right, Arthur.
No, I would not lie to you. Hand on my heart, I'm a good Christian man, and I would not lie to you. But unfortunately, it does turn out that you're a very annoying extrovert.
Sorry, mm-hmm. Can I just stop you right
yes.
there? I don't know that
please do.
Annoying extrovert is actually a scientific diagnosis.
Well, no, yeah, well, you would not think so, but it is a new strain of extroversion that we have recently discovered with the
annoying is the scientific term, is it?
Yes, annoying. Yes, annoying extrovert. It's an extrovert who emphatically denies being an extrovert, will come up with some very small bullshit anecdotes to.
Sorry, Arthur. Can I just interrupt you briefly
mm-hmm.
there, Arthur? Did you
yes,
see that
of course,
video
please
of
me
reading me. A book in the middle of a party?
Beg your pardon?
Did you see the video of me reading a book in the middle of a party?
I can only go from what you filled out with the personality test.
Yeah, but
test,
Arthur,
and,
you seem like a smart guy. Mm-hmm. You're a good Christian man. I bet you've got an Instagram account.
I'm sorry. I did say Christian man. I did mean Scientology. what I did mean was to say Scientology. I don't know why
well,
I said
case,
Christian.
I'm not interested, honestly.
No. But if you would like to come into if you'd like to come into. That's intense.
That was intense.
But
that
you
was
can't
awesome.
Argue with the facts.
No, we have to wrap it up. I'm getting the wrap-up signal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brutal.
How do you feel about it? Actually, can we just please just really quickly make some apologies just before we go on? Somebody, a Bonas fan, whose name I've actually forgotten and I can't retrieve right now.
What a beautiful start to the apology. Gorgeous work. Go on.
Stunning work from me. No, listen, they messaged us to say regarding Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds that they actually got married on a plantation. So for that, I want to apologize.
On behalf of them or behalf of being having a boner for them?
Both, actually. I think we're close enough now, them and I, that they wouldn't mind me stepping up. And also just me as a person of kind of moral integrity, I want to say that I'm not cool with that. I think, you know, those are symbols of slavery and that they shouldn't be glamorized by white people. So I just kind of want to make that apology and say I wish I'd never said that I wanted to watch them through a two-way mirror. Fuck, you know? But
well, I just want you to know that my kind of my vitriol of I mean, I don't know if I'm using that word correctly, of a simple favour was actually my manifestation of my disagreement with their choice to get married on the plantation. So yeah. I don't need to apologise for anything.
All right. So in that case, then, you actually knew about the plantation thing before we went into that episode. So just in the future, it'd be great if you kind of gave us a heads up about that sort of thing and actually vocally
I'm not
going to
do. I'm going to do my own research and you can do your own research. I'm not. Okay. This is a service. I'm not going to vet every person as to whether or not they got married on a plantation. All right. I think, you know. All right.
No, that is too onerous. But if we just say to the fans out there, if you do know of any other boners who have gotten married on a plantation, please let us know. We will profusely apologize.
And then we'll do another secret podcast very pro the plantation weddings.
And you can get that on the Patreon.
Can I do a shout out to a fan, Tom Katsumi, who made us these amazing badges.
Oh, yeah.
He came to a gig in London and I sent you a picture of them. I'm going to bring you one of them when I come back.
So
but they're
nice.
So amazing. They're so amazing. And I'll post a photo of them on our Twitter account, Boner of the Heart. At Boner of the Heart.
Yeah.
You know, you can't forget that bit. But as always, we really do enjoy gifts and praise.
And feedback on our iTunes platform.
Yeah. So if you do have anything to give us, money, gifts, small gifts, blessings. I would love a blessing. I'd love some blessings
from
people.
You know what I would love? A crystal.
Okay. Wow, I think that's a good.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we're putting it out there. We want to put it out into the universe.
But I will warn you. There's some bad crystals out there, and someone could curse that crystal and give it to you.
Oh well, I want a non-cursed crystal, so that feels like it was.
Well, yeah, you got
to
say that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's easily cleared
non-cursed
up now.
Crystal.
I want a crystal that brings
also,
good things. We got to fucking
just a reminder that. A reminder that we are performing, we're doing a live show. If you're London-based, we're doing a live show at the Soho Theatre in London. Isn't that incredibly exciting for our, you know, 12 London fans? But that's going to be in February, and it's almost a little, like, Valentine's Day kind of vibe because it's on
cute.
The 11th of Feb.
And I'm doing two Soho solo Theater. Shows after that as well, so come to those as well, please, for the love of God.
We didn't agree on being unplugging that.
No,
but
that's
let's talk
true.
About that later.
We'll talk about it later. Tim can cut it out.
There is a link in the episode description to buy tickets to the Soho Theatre live bonus show, so please go do that. It's February 11th. We'll see you there. We'll say hi, and that's where we'll reap all of our gifts and crystals that are not cursed.
All right. Thanks so much for listening. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks again to our sponsor, GoNative.co.nz, hooking you up with some ethically sourced beauty products at wholesale prices. Check them out at GoNative.co.nz.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.